are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Torrey alongside Miles today, absent Rob, but together we don't have quite the same 75 years of experience as when Rob is in the room, but we do advise on and broker the precious metals. And each week the three of us provide a technical analysis of the metals charts. We cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict the markets. And today, as always, we're going to start with a weekly recap of what the markets have done from a precious metal standpoint. And then we'll get into some of the underlying fundamentals, but mostly a deeper dive on the charts and some of our concerns with these all-time highs. So, Miles, have fun with this one. What's transpired this week?
Well, first of all, without Rob, that does cut our experience about in half. I think Rob's responsible for about 35 or 40 of those 75 or 80 years. But the two of us will try to equal one Rob without him this week. So, Rob, we miss you. Hope you listen, and we'll see you next week. So, let's kick it off with gold. All right, guys, I got to tell everybody before we get started, I promise we're going to get to silver. I'm just going to say that right now. We're going to talk about silver this week, I promise. But we do, let's get through a couple of these other ones because I do think there's some other interesting stuff going on in the markets as well. Gold up about 4.3% since our recording last Wednesday. It did not only get up to the 4150 that I've been calling for a couple months here now. We're actually up at over 4200, I think 4212, $4,212 as we record, Torrey. And gold is maybe not quite looking at stopping, but we'll dig into it a little bit more here in a minute.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's up $68 today alone, which is 1.65% on the day we record.
Crazy. So now here's where I am going to mix it up because we are going to come back to it. I think it's going to be a good chunk of the show. I'm going to skip silver for the minute, just really keep people holding on. Let's go to the other side of the white metals, platinum. Platinum has done just about nothing over the past week. So with gold up over 4%, platinum is up a staggering $10. A lot of volatility. We had 3-4% moves up and down on either side, but started the week at 1,660, and as of recording, it's 1,670. Not too much in showing a little bit of plateau in platinum.
But again, with that volatility, I like it. I like the play. It's up 1.5% today, so it barely got back to even on the week, but we'll take a $26 move in platinum when it's a portfolio diversification for us.
Absolutely. Now, palladium is actually up 6% over the last week. Still below platinum, almost $100 below, but just shy of $1,600 itself, currently sitting at $1,590. And a quick glance at the paper markets, because, man, we had a lot of volatility in the S&P this week. And I think some of that actually has to do with, I'm going to say it again, Torrey, silver. So we'll get to that here in a second with potentially some margin call action here last week. But the S&P Friday afternoon, we saw a decrease on Friday of as much as 3%. In a single day, which is pretty staggering for one of the major market indices. So big down day this past Friday going into Columbus Day weekend. But S&P down a relatively marginal 1.3% since our recording on Wednesday. So despite the big fall on Friday, we did see a little bit of a rebound in the S&P coming into this week. And it's come back about half what it's come down. So we'll have to see if the S&P can push back up to the previous highs. But if we're starting to see some rollover action in the equities market, that's going to give us a lot to talk about over the next few months.
Yeah, it really will. And it would help if we had some stability. I mean, that's part of why gold has had the volatility that it's had, is there's uncertainty. It's not necessarily fear, but with the China-U.S. relations being strained, we've got tariff news constantly changing, misunderstandings between nations from China's exports of rare earth minerals, the United States getting defensive and angry and overreacting on 100% tariff response. And anyway, all that for naught. It was all just one supposed big misunderstanding, although there's evidence coming out that it wasn't. It was just everybody walking it back because a shot across the bow followed by a shot across the bow. But all that volatility, I mean, you talked about the S&P being down 3% on Friday alone. Well, okay, Silver's up 3.22%. So I'm going to segue to it because you can't not talk about it. We can't go any farther.
Are you sure? I mean, we're 6 minutes in. I got at least another 10 of fluff before we get to it, if you want me to.
This is so 2008, you know, 9, 10, 11, when we saw silver running and we saw these dollar plus moves in a single day. Well, today's $1.66 alone, up to 53.21 as we record. Like I said, up 3.2%. So let's go. What has it done all week?
So 8.4% over the past week, which isn't the most staggering move that we've seen in a single week, although boy, it sure feels like it, the way things have been going, because there's a lot more elements in the silver market taking place right now besides just the spot price going up. So 8.4%, I think when I put numbers together, we're at $53.29, so firmly moving above the old 49 and change high as we're now pushing into the 50s. And it is definitely starting to look extended on a spot price standpoint.
It's shocking to me that we didn't meet more resistance at that previous all-time high from 1980 and 2011. That $50 mark was going to be like this tough wall to get over. Nothing. I mean, we just walked right through it like somebody opened a door. And here we go. And the concern to me is that there's no underlying fundamental that is telling us that this should be happening.
So, and that I actually agree with you on. We knew it was going through 50, right? It wasn't so much, is it going to stop at 50? We knew it was going to push through 50, but I expected to see a fair bit of profit taking. And realistically, you can argue that on an individual basis, I think there has been some profit taking.
Yeah.
I have plenty of clients who bought silver for 10 or 15 bucks and decided they were going to take some profit out of it. They still own plenty. But when you start with your gold and silver 5, 6, 8 years ago being 20, 25%, 30% of your investable assets, and with what gold and silver have both done over the last year or two, now all of a sudden you're looking at that portion of your financial triangle, you know, that percentage of your investable assets, no longer 25, 30%. Could be 40%, 50%. Now, all of a sudden, you're thinking, I didn't invest too much in gold or silver, but because of what gold and silver has done over the last couple of years, it now feels like maybe I do have a little bit too much. So you take a little bit of profit off the top. Sure. So we have seen that on the coin market to some extent. Where you haven't seen that is the international demand for silver on the top down, the grand scale. The hunger for silver today is pretty staggering, and it's certainly showing itself.
It really is. And we've had two substantial dumping of ounces type events. If you look at a 5-minute chart, for example, on silver over the last 2 weeks, there has been that where there's been substantial move down, but it didn't last. And it clearly was profit taking. And I'm a big fundamentals guy. I'm always looking like, okay, what's the reason behind the health of this market? And or what fundamentals are changing that would be causing me concern to reflect an unhealthy nature of this market? And I'm kind of leaning a little bit more towards things feeling very top heavy. Technically, let's look at just the RSI. You know, when things start to get overbought versus oversold, that helps paint a picture, does it not? Yet here we are looking at these overbought positions in the metals, and they show zero signs of slowing down. Is this a melt-up phase? Is this a herd mentality? Or is this a healthy market that's a paradigm shift for all of us? Rob has seen similar moves to this back in the 80s. We certainly saw a huge run-up in 2011 as a result of the financial crisis, and silver had a lot of gap to narrow between it and gold. It started at 100-1 on the ratio back when the crisis hit. Initially, gold took off first. The gold-silver ratio got to 100. That rally in silver wasn't done until the gold-to-silver ratio got down to 31-1. Well, we're starting this one at 104. We're already at 79. Who knows where the bottom in the ratio goes? I think you pointed out we even hit 78 this week.
Yeah, we hit 78 this week, which is crazy to me that with everything silver has done, we've gone from 82 to 78.
Yes.
If it feels like silver's accomplished a lot in the last week, you got no idea what's coming.
That's right, because it's when gold will be sitting stagnant or it'll look stagnant because silver could easily narrow that ratio 20, 30 points.
Sure.
And now we're talking $65 to $85 silver, which a lot of technical analysts are calling for. Some people are even saying, look, if you revalue silver based on inflation since 1980 and even inflation since 2011, $75 silver is kind of already baked in. It's an expectation, just adjusting for the decline in the purchasing power of the dollar since those periods of time.
Well, and this is a COVID-esque move, or a 2010 silver market kind of move. You know, you mentioned RSI a second ago. The last time RSI was as overbought as it is now was July of 2020.
Prior
to that, takes us all the way back to 2010 and 2011. 2011, when we ultimately hit that high, when silver had gone from 17 all the way up to 49. The next one was COVID, when we had gone from basically 11 and a half up to 30. And now we've gone from around 30 up to 50. So you see these types of moves every now and then where silver plays catch up. And that has always been an argument of ours. Gold leads the charge. Silver plays catch up. It happens all the time. And when it happens quickly. So yeah, we're looking at some staggering moves here in the white metal right now. And we haven't even started to talk about what's actually going on in the physical silver market. But just a couple little facts. I mean, we're looking at silver on 9 consecutive weeks up, which is pretty impressive. We're at the longest, highest, most drawn out, overbought period that we've had in silver, according to RSI, since the 2020 and the 2011 moves up in silver. So this is pretty much on par with those types of moves we've had in the past, and we only see every 5 or 10 years. And we're looking at silver sitting at that $29 ceiling since 2020 for years. Silver has firmly put its foot on that $29, $30 mark, and we've taken the next stair step up. The question is, where does the stair step end, and what does the next trading range end up looking like to kind of let silver calm down and catch its breath?
Well, that's what I feel like needs to happen. Look, I believe firmly that we're going to see $75 silver in the next few years. It's almost like it's just been allowed to move freely. I mean, you and I have worked here so many years, and we have seen the manipulations and the controls in the silver market, and clients have complained about it for years. It's manipulated. People stopped buying it because it felt so controlled. Well, it's an inflation protection deal. It's an industrial metal, but the industrial demands continue to ramp up, from solar to technology with chip technology and computers and televisions, and then obviously weaponry, missiles, and that sort of stuff. That's obviously ramped up. And so the physical demand is very, very high. In fact, we're in our fifth year of physical demand being below production. So the mining production, above ground provision of silver, is substantially less than the above ground demand is. And so what we're trying to say is, look, that's a strong fundamental market, and it feels as if it's been allowed to move. At some point, though, it may not be. You and I remember the trick, you know, they raised margin requirements on silver, and they did that 5 times in less than 3 weeks, and it shook out all the speculators. You had to step up. If you wanted to keep playing poker at the table, they were up in the ante, right in the middle of the same table you'd been sitting at. Suddenly it turned from a $5 blackjack table or a poker table to a $500 table, and it shook out a lot of the pretenders and speculators. They could do that again.
Yeah, and that's big news in the market right now as far as the leasing and lending rates for silver goes. There's a lot going on in the silver market today. One of the aspects does have to do with that overnight margin on lending and leasing rates of silver and delivery of silver out of the United States into Europe, into Asia. Something we talked about the other direction when it pertained to the gold market earlier this year, back in March, April, where we had a lot of gold leaving Europe coming to the United States. Now we have apparently a lot of orders leaving the United States, going back overseas the other direction. And what's ended up happening is some of these margin and leasing rates have skyrocketed over the last couple of days. So Dave and Kevin go into that if you want to listen to a bit more about what's going on the macro scale with the big depositories in the silver market. You can catch that on our website. That's McIlvaney.com/news, and look for the McIlvaney weekly commentary. You can also find our show there each week, McIlvaney.com/news. So I think one of the things we're seeing, Tori, in the silver market right now, and I don't know if you've gotten these calls or not over the last couple of days, but it's been pretty specific to one product that I've had some clients call it asking me about junk silver. And I'm wondering if you're seeing the same.
Absolutely. You know, we ran into an issue last week on a liquidation of junk silver and 1,000-ounce bars, quite honestly. But this is a true dynamic that's happening real time that we've only seen a couple of times, namely the same periods of time that you alluded to with COVID and the financial crisis.
Yeah, and I want to start with just a quick thing here. So I spoke to a client of mine on Monday who had some concerns because she had read some articles about refineries here in the United States who have purchased up so much scrap and junk silver to be melted to fill some of these international bar orders that they just halted buying of product. And I think, like you were saying, you had felt that personally with one of your clients on Friday. So did a little digging into it. Now, let's make sure we're calling a spade a spade. At the time, I couldn't see, at least in our pricing, I didn't see much of a price difference between where we had been a week ago and where we were on Monday. Now, that's not entirely the case now today. But when I'm looking at junk silver, couple percent difference, let's definitely not blow things out of proportion, but let's certainly recognize that there is something happening in the silver market today. So here's what I think is happening, Tori, and you tell me if this makes sense. We've got Dave and Kevin going through this idea of the leasing rates and the shipment of silver back to fulfill physical demanded orders over in London. And arguably, that's almost always taking place in China and certainly in India, who I've seen some silver buying requests here increase over the last 6 months or a year. So what I think we're seeing is American refineries who can only produce so much, so fast, who have basically filled their coffers over the last couple months, buying up product to be melted down. And I think as this price has gotten higher, they're looking at the standing orders for delivery they've got over the next few months. And they're saying to themselves, you know, when silver was 30, we were buying as much as we could. 35, as much as we could. 40, as much as we could. 45, we're slowing down a bit. And 50, you know what? We've still got 2 months of production backed up. So I think what's happening is they're looking at the cost and saying, well, we can only future sell these bars out so far. We're already catching up on orders. And frankly, we don't have the machinery to melt and refine as fast as we possibly want to. So therefore, they've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere. So what that's ended up happening is product like junk silver, which has one of its uses, it is to get melted down into bars. It's affecting the price by a couple percentage points. Now, it's not 30% off the price, like I've read a couple websites hinting at, but 3 or 4 extra percent, I think, is something that you can see happen in the market. I'm a big fan of taking the news for what it is and then making sure to look at it within the context of what's somebody actually going to write you a check for if you did want to sell something at a given day. So for anybody out there who's sitting on a junk silver position that might be reading a couple things in the news right now, make sure to check where actual pricing is and check your sources. Because yes, there is some tightening in the silver market right now. This is not something we haven't seen before. This is absolutely things that you'll see happen from time to time. It's not as bad as it sounds. And hey, on the flip side here, Tori, you can buy junk bags for like 4 or 5% over spot price right now, as opposed to 8 or 9.
Yeah, worst case scenario. And that's kind of what's part of the issue too, is these spot prices are incredibly enticing to sell, take profit and run, maybe even sit on the sideline, hope to reposition. The problem is, like, today's 3% move, depending on the product you own, you may not even get to realize that 3% gain, because what has happened is the spread has widened. Mm-hmm. Yes, the ask price, the amount that you would pay over spot to buy something, has gone up with the spot price, but the premium has not gone up. And on the bid side, like the sell side, that bid has actually dropped disproportionately compared to the spot price move. Think of it as widening the goalposts in a football game, right? You didn't move the goalposts left or right. You moved them apart from each other. It's a wider spread. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit more for that product because of the spot price move. But you know what? When you go to sell, you're going to get less, as if the market move didn't even happen. And that's what's happening with the junk silver and even 1,000-ounce silver bars. People don't want to be stuck on the wrong side of the fence. The further this market runs and the more detached it gets from the moving averages, which we've gone into in the previous couple of shows, I mean, that separation from the 50-day and 200-day moving averages is getting incredibly extreme. The last time this type of divergence occurred was during that post-COVID-19 boom in 2011. So when you see these types of separations, you think, oh, yeah, I don't want to be stuck on the wrong side of the fence, literally holding the bag of silver. And so I'm going to pay a little less and protect myself. If I'm a wholesaler, I'm going to pay less in the market. You want to sell it? Here's the price.
Yep.
So be careful about waiting for a particular spot price and be in touch with what the physical market is telling us. You know, they talk about the backwardation in the futures curve too on the weekly commentary with those CME contracts 12 months and beyond forward looking are trading at a discount to the spot price. That tells you another underlying fundamental, along with volatility being at a 14-year high, that this could start to, in a healthy way, roll over, come back down, let the market find some footing. And again, I'm all about $75 silver at some point, but not right now. And so if you're profit taking, be aware.
Yeah, I think it's because we're getting into those prices where $75 silver could be 6 weeks from now, or $40 silver could be 6 weeks from now.
Or $75 silver could be 6 months from now.
Or 6 years
but you're
from
right.
now.
Or
probably
6 years.
Not. And I think what I'm getting at is, and I like that you brought up the wholesale side. So the wholesale market side, the refinery side, you know, here on the retail side, where we deal with specific customers on a one-on-one basis, this stuff doesn't affect us too much. Not every company does, but one of the things that McIlvany has always done is we hedge our inventory. So we don't really care if the price of gold and silver goes up or down. It doesn't positively or negatively affect us and our inventory as a company, but that's not necessarily true with producers, refiners, manufacturers. Their inventory is part of their net worth. That's why you'll also see producers, manufacturers sitting on primarily a larger short position than long position. When you look at, say, the Commitment of Traders report, producers always have more short than long because they also hedge portions of their inventory as well. So on a retail side, stuff like this doesn't affect us too much. We have to navigate it like everybody else. But what we are seeing is there's no legal requirement for a wholesaler to take on more product if they don't want to. And if we're in a market position where people have an equal concern that silver has done so much so fast, that logic would tell you it's due a break. So on one side, there's the argument that $53 silver when it was 30 bucks just a couple months ago, silver's probably due a break. We don't want to step out and possibly be the last man holding the bag. But on the flip side, when a market shifts from the first phase of the bull market to the second, all logic goes out the window. And if we blow through 50 and we go to 55 and then we go to 60 and then we go to 75 and all of a sudden we're at $120 silver, and we never took a second to catch our breath, that's going to happen at some point too. Eventually, the silver market goes from base building growth to mania.
Yes.
And we could be at one of those breaking points where this may just be the next stair step up in base building growth. We're going to camp somewhere here for 6 months, like we've done a few times in the past. You go up 10, 15 bucks, you go up 15, 20%. You take a break, two steps forward, one step back. But eventually we move into that period where there's no two steps forward, one step back. It's just step forward after step forward until it decides it's run its course. And when you see these types of numbers, I think there's a fair argument for people to say, I don't really want to buy it, but I don't really want to sell it either. It's almost that deer in the headlights mentality. And I think we're seeing that in the market right now. And I'm telling you, man, the opportunity when something like that happens, when you get a little bit of a break in the cost of something, because other people aren't willing to take action. Circulated silver dollars right now at the prices they're at. Junk silver's just given us a couple percent break, even though the spot price has gone up. The futures market is inched back down. I'm telling you, the opportunity's there, whether we get a pullback in silver or not.
Well, and we have availability. And oftentimes when there's real fear in the market gets sucked dry. And right now that's not a problem. And you talked about the futures, the Commitment of Traders report. You're getting a transition from long to an increased short type position where there's more money starting to bet against the market. So caution to the wind, but we advise our clients to stay diversified in the metals, and that's why you diversify. It's why you own gold and silver and platinum and almost some palladium, and will ratio trade. If silver does go to the moon and it greatly outperforms gold, we're going to be trimming that position moving into gold because it's going to be buying you more ounces of gold. You don't have to sell. We just have to swap, and we do it in a timely fashion. And that's a whole different strategy for your portfolio where you don't have to worry about timing an exit from an outright profit-taking standpoint. We let the math do the talking, and we compound ounces over time, never leaving the metals, but just stacking chips at the same poker table.
Sure. If you ever ask me what the price of silver is, Tori, I'm just going to say 78 to 1. Because that's the only number I care about. I think that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, again, encourage you to head on over to our website at mcalvany.com. That's mcalvany.com. And if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with us, we can be reached at 1-800-525-9556.